Herzlich willkommen, Moris Mocci und Sibyl Stöckl.
Hallo.
Schön seid ihr hier im Studio sozusagen. Sibyl ist Industriedesignerin. Sie beschäftigt sich mit kulturellen Eigenheiten und kulturellen Gemeinsamkeiten. Dabei beobachtet sie Einflüsse dieser auf unser Handwerk und die Art, wie wir uns ernähren. Sie hat ein großes Interesse an Rohkost und den Einflüssen einzelner Lebensmittel auf unseren Körper. Moris ist Gärtner, Koch, Künstler, Aktivist in der Stadtgestaltung, Kultfigur im Bereich Guerilla Gardening und Förderer für eine Gesellschaft in Fußdistanz. Er beschäftigt sich mit lokalen Produkten, der Begrünung und Nutzung der Stadt und ihrer Lebensmittel. Jetzt möchte ich kurz meine These erklären, mit welcher ich mich in meinem Projekt Atlas Divers Essen beschäftige. Meine These ist, dass eine große Vielfalt auf unseren Tellern auch zu einer größeren Biodiversität in unseren Ökosystemen führt. Ich frage mich, wie wir uns gestützt auf die lokale Diversität wahrhaftig vielfältig ernähren können. Damit möchte ich dem Artensterben und dem menschgemachten Klimawandel thematisieren und den Einfluss unserer individuellen Essverhaltens auf dieses Thema ansprechen. I shortly will say it in English. My theory is that a bigger diversity on our plates brings us a bigger biodiversity on our planet. My question is how we truly can eat more diverse based on local food diversity. With that, I want to thematize the mass extinction of species and the man-made climate change, and start a conversation about the influences of our food behavior on that. Moris, ich denke, du lebst meine Idee. Wo siehst du Potenzial und wie schaffen wir uns vielfältig zu ernähren?
Ja, für mich was grundsätzlicher. Zum Glück harmoniert die Saisonalität mit dem Grundbedürfnis unserer Ernährung. Also was wir im Moment brauchen, hat immer zugleich auch Saison. Und das, denke ich, ist eine einfache Regelung, um durchs Leben zu kommen und sich auch ökologisch und klimafreundlich zu ernähren.
Also wenn wir uns an das wahrhaftige Angebot richten, dann sind wir eigentlich auf gutem Weg.
Ja, was in unserer Umgebung wächst. Und also als Beispiel Gurken, Tomaten, wasserhaltige Beeren, wasserhaltige Lebensmittel kommen vor allem im Sommer. Lagerfähige mit mehr Konsistenz kommen eher in den kühleren Jahreszeiten und so wollen wir uns ja eigentlich vom Gefühl her auch ernähren.
So Sibyl, you have your project Global Design Research and this gives you a view on different cultures. Or in this project, you got a view on different cultures, and I think that allows you to see some similarities and connections we have also in food and how we eat. But I think we have a mashup in our global or in the behavior we eat or how we eat. So how can we use this diversity, but have it really also in local?
So I think, first of all, for me, global design research was a trip around the world, but it was also for me a way to just go out of the working time. Because as a designer, we work all the time and we do not live, right? So actually for me, what is very important is that before being a designer, that we are a human first and that we live. So Because of course we are, you know, everybody is different. Everybody has a different label, a different work or whatever. But at the end, we are all humans. And this is actually what counts, because this is what is the same for everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. So basically for me, this was the starting point.
Also of this journey.
Of this journey, mm-hmm. Yeah. To understand also what are the choices I want to do. But the most important part for me was just to reconnect with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the thing. We are not connected with ourselves. We are not connected with the time. We are not connected with the place we are living in. Because we are always in the rush. So we cannot feel the season, as Marcus just speak about.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot understand the time of the vegetables and the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
When are they growing? When are they ripe? When is the time, you know? We are just having the season proposition of the supermarket, which is actually completely out of nowhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you have strawberries in December. So for me, it's really, of course, it's very interesting to have all this diversity in a supermarket. Maybe it's a chance, but in the same time, we don't understand what it means. And to have all the time everything is quite tiring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a garden, suddenly something is ripe and you will go just full on it because it's now, you know?
It's here, yeah.
And then when it's done, you have something else. So you always have a lot of different things, but, you know, it's a, how can I say, a tonus, you know? Mm-hmm. So it is different. Yeah, so for me, my understood of this global thing is really related to the local thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to connect with the local, but to open the eyes, you know,
mm-hmm.
now, here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, this is basically everywhere on Earth, it's the same, like, maybe when you're closer to, or when you are in a tropical area, maybe you have more, the seasons are not so strong like they are here.
Yeah.
But still you have this Angebot, sorry I forgot the word, but
yeah.
You have an Angebot where you are,
uh-huh.
and you have to use it. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter actually if you're in a tropical region or if you're in a like in a pole region. So, but you have this offer. And
what
it's
is beautiful, for
so
example, is like banana or papaya. You have them all the year round.
Mm.
This is nice. But in the meantime, what I saw, what was exactly the same with people over there, all around the world, is that actually nobody understood that if they have a fruit in their hands, they have the power to plant the seeds.
Mm.
And this is common to everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
To have forgot about the knowledge that you can plant yourself. And even in places where people have no money, they forgot that they can just plant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same here,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm.
So, yeah.
So in this way also we are connected.
Yeah.
And we have the same problems. Actually.
Yes.
Ja, ich möchte jetzt noch kurz auf die Worte von Sibyl Bezug nehmen. Das ist ernährungsgeschichtlich. Sieht man, seit sich der Mensch bewegt, bewegen sich auch die Nahrungsmittel über Saatgut mit dem Menschen. Und das ist sehr spannend auch zu sehen, welche Pflanzen eine hohe Bedeutung haben, ja, in unserer Grundernährung, und Pflanzen bedeutet zugleich auch Heimat. Mhm. Also die authentischsten Gerichte findet man immer bei Emigranten. Wenn sie emigrieren, dann wird das Rezept nicht verändert und im Ursprungsland wird das Gericht der Neuzeit angepasst. Also ich habe so, meine Erfahrung in New York war, die wahre italienische Pasta und Brot habe ich irgendwo in der Bronx im Italo-Viertel gegessen. Mhm. Und ich war in meiner Jugend, wuchs ich in Rom auf und habe genau wieder das luftige Brot, wie ich von meiner Jugend her kannte, konnte ich dort kaufen. Und das war wirklich, weil man durfte das nicht verändern, weil das ist ein Stück Heimat. Mhm. So. Und Ernährung ist Heimat und auch Pflanzen sind Heimat, darum wandern die auch immer mit den Menschen mit.
Das ist ja auch, ja, das zeigt ja auch, dass wir eben auch diese Diversität, zum Beispiel beim Saatgut hast du angesprochen, dass es diese Diversität gibt, zeigt ja auch, dass wir immer uns bewegen und wandern. Darum entsteht immer etwas Neues, das sich dann auf lokale Bedingungen anpasst. Und durch dieses Wandern, das wir seit tausenden Jahren machen, entsteht ja eigentlich auch eine Vielfalt, die wir heute haben, die aber auch immer mehr verschwindet. Das ist ja das, wo du Sibylle, angesprochen hast, dass die Leute vergessen, wie man etwas sät, dass das eigentlich hier vergessen geht, genauso wie es an anderen Orten auf der Welt auch vergessen geht. Und ich glaube, da liegt auch eine große Gefahr darin, die wir irgendwie abwenden müssen. Wir müssen auch wach werden und aufmerksam werden. Dass, ja, es gibt auch Unternehmen, die großen Profit daraus schlagen, und gleichzeitig bunkern wir Saatgut irgendwo in Spitzbergen und warten, bis wir es brauchen. Aber eigentlich wäre es ja viel wichtiger, wenn wir es jetzt nutzen würden. I have a question on both for you together. So with more local diversity, I want to change the kind we farm, because if we as a user or clients, we decide to use something, the farmers have to change their way of producing as well. How do you think can we get to this change, or how can we get rid of those problems like climate change and mass extinction of species? Because I think it's something we have here right now, but we have many different other problems, and every day there are other problems coming. So, but how can we start to face them really yet?
Mm-hmm. And can I start?
Yeah, you can start.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in my point of view, if we have a look of how it works in nature, we can see everything is small amount by small amount. So if we do the same, like everybody does his part in a small way, if everybody does his small part, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know. In my point of view, it's everybody has to open their eyes, their ears, to be open to understand and learn. Of course, if you see life as something that will never change, and
like a circle you mentioned before.
Yeah, you know. I feel that, and of course we are helped through these times, people have to rethink the way they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is great, because people can be creative, and when you are open to learn, to be creative, then you find your way. You find your way for yourself. You want to learn. Then you will exchange and speak and communicate mm-hmm. with others. And, you know, we are a bit like a cell, you know, like in the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, we forgot why we eat. At the beginning, you know, why do we eat today?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just because it's nice. It's not just because it's a comfort, you know. It's because our body needs to live.
Nutrition. Yeah.
So we also have to understand a bit more about this. So if all the cells of the body can work and do what they have to because they receive what they can
mm-hmm.
and they need, it's the same for people, you know? Same. You understand? Like, you view.
Yeah.
that, yeah.
So, on one side, it's a need, like, for the body, but I think also it's a need of our society, because
yeah,
food
like
connects us and brings us on
a
table.
It's a community,
mm-hmm.
you know? Of course. To live, we have to exchange ideas, taste,
mm-hmm.
whatever, ideas. This is life,
mm-hmm.
you know? We are humans, so creating things, taste, whatever. It can be a table, it can be a dish. At the end, it's the same, you know? You will exchange, you will taste it, you will do something
mm-hmm.
with. So, yeah, I feel the community can be small or big, no matter, but it's a communication thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel. So if everybody do just a bit, then we share,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Like,
and
yeah.
It's fluid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ja, für mich ist die ein wichtiger Punkt ist die kulinarische Bildung. Aber das ist auch das große Problem, weil die kulinarische Bildung ist gesellschaftspolitisches Problem. Wir können uns leisten, unsere Kinder auf sensibilisieren für Ernährung, was halt in ärmeren Gesellschaften nicht geht. Was mich so in der letzten Zeit erfreut, also vor allem in der Spitzengastronomie, ist, dass die Lokalität und die Saisonalität ist in Mode gekommen. Also es ist eine neue Mode entstanden und ja, ich behaupte sogar, das ist eine neue Exotik, was man früher irgendein ausgefallener Fisch über die halbe Welt fliegen musste zum Servieren, ist heute wieder das ursprüngliche Lokale. Also da gibt es ganz tolle Beispiele von Spitzenköchen, die sich wirklich auf 80 Kilometer in der Umgebung ihre Produkte auswählen und damit kochen. Und das ist auch meine Hoffnung, weil Mode und Trends verändern die Welt schneller als
mhm.
irgendwelche Gesetzgebungen.
Das heißt, eigentlich muss man auch da ansetzen, wenn wir etwas verändern wollen. Sibyl hat vorhin eigentlich gesagt, es braucht von allen Personen einen kleinen Beitrag, alle müssen einen Beitrag dazu leisten. Wir müssen in die gleiche Richtung ziehen, damit wir uns in die richtige Richtung entwickeln können. Und ja, das, da habe ich mich eigentlich gefragt, wie bringen wir das hin? Das ist eigentlich, glaube ich, da, wo ich denn das größte Problem sehe. Wie bringen wir uns als Gesellschaft so weit, dass wir uns positiv verändern können? Und ich glaube, Trends sind da schon sehr ein wichtiger Faktor. Und Moritz, du hast das auch vorhin schon im Voraus schon mal angesprochen, dass für dich Trends sehr etwas oder dass du darin siehst, wie sich etwas verändern. Eben, du sagst, das ist stärker als wenn wir ein Gesetz erlassen oder wenn ein Gesetz erlassen wird. Was ich noch spannend finde, sind eigentlich die Punkte kulinarische Bildung. Das fand ich ziemlich interessant, weil das vielleicht auch ein Luxus ist, den wir hier haben. An anderen Orten kann sich die Bevölkerung das vielleicht weniger leisten. Und was ich zum anderen auch spannend finde, ist diese Exotik, die du angesprochen hast. Also was früher überhaupt nicht exotisch war, sondern ja, sehr regional und sehr langweilig, vielleicht vor 100 Jahren. Und eben da musste man beginnen, eigentlich etwas um die halbe Welt zu fliegen. Und jetzt wird eigentlich das, was man immer schon hier hatte, plötzlich exotisch, weil wir diese Trends stillen möchten. Und ich habe mit einer Person gesprochen, von Pro Spezia Rara, und sie hat eigentlich gesagt, wenn die Spitzenköche, die kommen dann immer und wollen schon wieder etwas Neues, und wenn man ihnen sagt, ja, das ist jetzt, also es ging um das Mangalitsa-Wollschwein, das vor 2-3 Jahren war das Top-Beispiel, und alle haben dieses Mangalitsa-Wollschwein auf der Karte gehabt, und jetzt ist das schon wieder ein bisschen out. Das ist so auch die Gefahr, die man dann vielleicht hat, weil die Trends halt sehr schnelllebig sind. Aber vielleicht kannst du auch nochmal, oder auch du, Sibyl, etwas zu kulinarischer Bildung sagen. Oder vielleicht auch, wie du das siehst, gesehen hast auf deiner Reise, wie das an anderen Orten ist.
But maybe what I want to say about the trend. Yeah, just because I feel, of course, also, you know, like, can be Pro Specie Rara or can be bio. Also, what I do feel, of course, now supermarket use it as a trend, but in the meantime, it's, you know, making a huge work of opening the minds of people, you know. So
in the first way, it's like a,
of course,
it's a trend of the maybe commercial, but
I think, you know, like, it's been so many years, maybe 30, 40 years, that people are, you know, full on doing biological, or, you know, going on that way. Of course, after so many years, now it's growing, right? Really. And now supermarket are really taking it as a marketing power. Well, at least it opens, you
the
know,
mind of a bigger crowd.
So I just see the, you know, the positive facts of that. Everybody now is a bit more aware, you know. What is a chemical, you know? Why do we have to use chemicals to make a plant grow?
Here we are with the culinary education. Here it starts, because many people
just
have no
idea
of it.
Of course, yeah. But this is common. Everywhere, you know. Of course, here, I mean, Switzerland may be more than other countries, but in some countries, you don't even ask for biological, you know. And people think it's natural, so okay. I feel it's quite a complicated topic, because it's something to say, oh, there is a label, it's bio, or to say, yeah, it's just natural. Actually, it is natural nowadays that people use chemicals. So I feel as well, you know, before we were speaking about what is exotic, like 300 years ago, tomato was exotic. Mm. We even thought it was just an ornamental, beautiful red thing that was growing in the French garden, you know, like, and nobody was eating them. So in a way, everything has to be exotic first, and then to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a travel actually.
Yep. Sorry.
No, no, it's okay.
Through the tomato, I have an anecdote I read many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite farmers. He's a he's a permaculture pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
From Austria, Sepolzer, and he has a young boy. He was fascinated of plants and animals. So one day he met in the local grocery store who was next to his school. So he lived on a mountain, but he had to go to school in the little village. So he saw tomatoes there for the first time, and it looked so really beautiful. So he thought, oh, this must be really something I have to try because it looks so delicious. It must be really delicious. So he took all his money he had, and one day he bought this tomato. And then he was going home, and it was like an hour walk up to the farm of his parents. And he bit in this tomato, and it didn't taste like he expected. So he was like, it can't be. It's not delicious. So, but then after he set the seeds, I think, for some reason, and then had other tomatoes out of that, because he was fascinated of every plant, and then he get used to this taste of tomato.
He learned.
I think it's with many tastes we start to learn and get used to it, and then we start to love it.
I think for food, there is a lot of things like this. We have to learn to like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really something. Yeah, that lots of taste actually. You cannot just like it this way. You know, it's a. This is the culture actually. Yeah, part of the culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also the culture and the taste of the culture, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Bräuche, I don't know the English word. Like the tradition we have.
Uh-huh.
Like Moritz, ich komme nochmal zurück auf diese kulinarische Bildung auch, weil du machst das für mich auch ein bisschen, du machst das. Du bist ja auch Autor von 3 Kochbüchern. Ich habe vorhin gesagt, ich glaube, es sind 2, dann hast du mich korrigiert. Es sind 3, es gibt auch ein Kinderkochbuch darunter und da setzen wir ja eigentlich auch schon an einem sehr spannenden Punkt an, weil es kommen kommende Generationen und die müssen sich genauso mit diesen Fragen auseinandersetzen oder noch verstärkt mit diesen Fragen auseinandersetzen. Ja, eben, ich finde, du bist ja sehr stark auch in dieser kulinarischen Bildung unterwegs, indem du Kochbücher machst und darin auch deine Art zu denken an Mann und Frau bringst. Ja, vielleicht kannst du dazu etwas sagen.
Ja, so die kulinarische Bildung, da eben, das ist schon wie vorhin gesagt, das bedeutet eine gesellschaftliche Schicht, dass das möglich ist und es ist sehr etwas Urbanes.
Mhm.
Also die urbane Bevölkerung lustigerweise hat heute das höhere Umweltbewusstsein als die ländliche Bevölkerung. Mhm. Das ist vielleicht durch die Dichte, was das fördert. Für mich ist auch in der Bildung was Wichtiges, dass man den ganzen Prozess dahinter sieht. Also ich finde jetzt zum Beispiel, wenn ich jetzt ein Demeter Gemüse esse und kaufe, dann habe ich für meine Moral das Gefühl, ich habe das Beste getan. Aber wenn ich heute sehe, dass ein Demeterbauer in der Schweiz 12,50 Franken verdient auf die Stunde, dann kann er, wenn er älter ist, keine Familie davon ernähren, also geht Wissen verloren. Und ich finde, Ernährung hat sehr viel auch mit Fairness zu tun, also Fairness gegenüber der Landschaft, dem Boden, gegenüber der Natur, dann der Biodiversität und natürlich auch die Arbeit. Das nützt mir, wenn ich sage, ja, ich habe eine Demeter-Banane und diese können, die Pflücker können nicht mal eine Familie davon ernähren. Also habe ich einfach für meine Gesundheit geschaut, aber nicht für die ganze Kette davon. Und ich denke, das müssen wir vermehrt lernen.
Mitdenken.
Ja, oder das Wissen auch darüber vermitteln. Mhm. Also das sieht man, ganz schlimm ist es dann natürlich in der Fleischproduktion, oder? Wenn man die Frechheit hat, Bodenhaltungshuhn anzuschreiben und dann darf es auf einem A4-Blatt groß werden, dann das ist nicht das, was
vermittelt wird.
Ja, das wird nicht vermittelt und ich denke, wir müssen, das ist dann die Bildung halt, die Wahrheit über alle Produktionsmethoden so gut wie möglich vermitteln. Also als ich die Gärtnerlehre mache, kamen die Halmverkürzer auf, also man hat den Weizen gedüngt und dann wurde er zu hoch. Beim ersten Wind kippte er und dann hat man die schlaue Idee gehabt, ein Hormon in den Boden zu werfen, wo den Halm kürzer macht. Und dann konnten sie riesen Ähren machen in so einem kurzen Halm. Und die Sachen nehmen wir schlussendlich alles zu uns und wir haben immer das Gefühl, ja, wenn etwas so aussieht, dann ja, ist es auch natürlich. Und ich denke, da ist eine große Aufklärung sehr wichtig. Und das ist nicht nur bei jungen Menschen, sondern überhaupt. Also Deklaration, wenn jetzt bei unseren Lagenäpfeln stehen würde, die sind 12-mal in einer Vegetationsperiode gespritzt worden. Ich glaube, Mütter werden ihren Kindern keinen Apfel mehr verfuttern.
Ja, wir kommen da ja eigentlich gratis auch eine große Zahl an Dingen mit über, die wir vielleicht gar nicht wollen. Das ist auch bei anderen Sachen so, das ist nicht nur beim Essen so. Ja, und diese Aufklärung und auch eben auch vielleicht, also ich frage mich oft, wie können wir das ändern? Wo setzen wir den Schlüssel an? Muss die Politik das machen? Oder und das ist auch etwas, das ich ziemlich schwierig finde für mich, um zu beantworten. Ich weiß nicht.
I feel it's just, you know, it's like when you are walking, you just do one step and then you do another one. Mm-hmm. And then the end, you walk a lot and you went, I don't know, you understand the image,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
so
sure.
I feel we just have to do, you know, bit by bit. When I do like degustation, is it
mm-hmm.
English?
Degustation.
Yeah. When I do a degustation meal to people, it's like a trip, but they stay around the table. They can taste or taste mm-hmm. they know or taste they don't know, but all in vegetal.
Mm-hmm.
And it does something, you know. It's something that is, it's an experiment, it's an experience, and people will feel something. So, okay, then they go away, they continue their life, and they will still do choices every day, you know?
Mm-hmm. They have to decide for themselves.
So, food choices is like at least 3 times a day,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot,
yeah.
Eh? Mm. This is one of the most important topic, actually, food. Because so many times you have to think yourself, what am I going to eat?
Mm. Yeah, and we can't decide that we want to eat. We have to eat, otherwise we die. But
I mean,
we can decide every single...
You can try not to eat. Mm. I mean, it's okay not to eat 2 weeks. It's,
yeah,
it's,
it works.
It's
yeah.
good
yeah.
to try it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is... we are in a system that, you know, every day we eat 3 times a day,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it's part of a system, you know, and
mm-hmm.
then you can try to, you know, go your way, you know. And
decide
and
you.
Yeah, and everybody will, if, how can I say, everybody will re-question if you try something different. If you had, I don't know, if you are touched by what Maurice is doing, or what you are doing, for example,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, everybody do his part. So it's never ending,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, like on a journey.
It's on it.
On
yeah.
a walk.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm very positive of what is happening today
mm-hmm.
because I feel it's going very fast, and we can really feel it's different today than 10 years ago
mm-hmm,
or
sure,
6
yeah.
years ago. Or so this is...
like the goal is to keep the ball rolling, like
yeah.
to don't... Like at this stage, the people are more aware than before, like 10 years before, and
yeah.
like maybe it's the steps who are before us is that we don't stop to go this path and
yeah,
don't.
But I feel
yeah.
it cannot stop, you know, because also this year we could really feel, okay, what does it mean if the supermarket is not here?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to feed me, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
Who is still here? Who is the farmer able to come in the city
mm-hmm.
or not? Am I able to go to see the farmer
mm-hmm.
or not? So it's really something about the, you know, your self responsibility. Who is going to feed myself? Well, probably it has to be me, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel also this whole question about making money. Of course, making money is maybe important, and then you can buy food. But maybe you can also just do food, and then you can eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's... For me, of course, we have to rethink the whole system, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also be more direct. We often go
because
we
give the responsibility to others because
mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. That. Yeah. That, I agree with that. We have to
take it back.
Build. Yeah, understand that we are the people who have to look for ourselves and
yeah.
take it back. Yeah.
And also the question of the local then is so easy, you know, because
mm-hmm.
okay,
yeah.
you will do, I don't know, you will do, let's say, carrots and Moritz, he will do salad, and then we exchange, you know. This is how it works.
And this is not natural trade.
This is so easy, actually, you know. And then, of course, as well, you know, maybe we can speak a bit about the topic of the bacteria, because we're speaking about food and living beings, and actually it's you cannot take food without the bacteria, because actually the ground where the vegetables grow are full of it, ourselves as well, you know, our skin is full of bacteria. Maybe you have 2 kilos of bacteria inside, so it's like an organ, you know. So but because we never talk about it, because we never see it, we feel it doesn't exist. And actually, the bacteria that are here around, I mean, here on the table or just outside in the garden, they are the real one that we need, you know, because it's a deal we do with them. They help us.
We are in a symbiotic living.
So they help us. And of course, if our salad come from Spain, it's not the good bacteria we need, you know.
And this is also a big topic of your personal work, like what, or if I understand it right, like what do single ingredients we take to us, what do they do with us?
Yeah, you mean all the different the food we eat?
Yeah, like in the body? Everything we eat, like the example when we take a salad from Spain, and we don't have the bacteria from here, so.
Yeah, because of course we can speak about a salad or something else, but actually it's a chemical process that we are going through, right? So we, of course, it's nice if the dressing is delicious and beautifully put on a plate, but in the same time, this salad or this carrot or whatever will give you something. So for me it's very important today to rethink about the the nutritious power, you know, of what we eat. Because we know an apple 50 years ago was way more nutritious than today, you know. Because of course today the apple grows so fast,
and
the soil as well is not the same anymore. So I think it's a huge topic. I mean, it's so interesting. There is so many levels, you know. Also the way we behave differently depending of what we eat, and it's a huge topic, so I don't want
really
to go too much. I mean, it's not complex, but we are, as human, we are really like a very complex machine, you know? So but interesting. Yeah. what you want to say? No, I think I cannot say more because it's a too big topic.
So
know?
It starts to maybe get out of the frame.
Yeah, but maybe just because I don't know where it was in your question, but you talk also about the food in the time, right? And because I was speaking about the bacteria, you know? Did you? Because for me, it's an evolution. I just want to maybe just talk about this, because a very interesting topic is the bacteria One about fermentations, mm-hmm. because fermentation is part of our daily food, you know, usually, mm-hmm. and it's very interesting in our discussion, you know, because we are speaking about design and we are speaking about food, and actually, what I understood is design is actually the opposite of the diversity, you know, because design is standards. Yeah? Mm-hmm. We love Bauhaus. Mm-hmm. We start to standardize everything, right? So this is the right.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Yeah. Like, oh, wow, actually, I come from that, you know. I love so much everything that is standard. Mm-hmm. You know, like one way to think in a way, so opposite of diversity. And what is very interesting actually is if you think about industry, when we start, you know, with supermarket, so we had to do a lot of food, put in a jar, put it in a truck and then in a supermarket. And then it has to stay on the shelf a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So the industry tried to, you know,
set standards.
Yes, set standards to keep the food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, what I understood is, you know, all the sauce, the pickles, you know, like can be mustard, the cornichon, like the, you know,
mm-hmm.
all these things, actually, at the beginning, it was lacto-fermented.
Mm-hmm.
If you do it at home, you should do it just by putting salt in it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And actually, so industry did it as with vinegar, you
mm-hmm.
know, and with heat, so sterilization.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will stay on the shelf, of course. It's completely
time.
Dead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can happen,
mm-hmm.
you know. But actually, what is interesting is then the industry, so the design, try to sell us, you know, the jars to explain. Okay, you take vinegar, you make it boil. And
mm-hmm.
you put your vegetables, and you do it like the industry. And then what happened? We lose the knowledge. The so simple knowledge that you do not need vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
You can just put salt.
Salt and it works.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's very interesting, actually, to understand, you know, how it works. Like, there is a missing part, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We misunderstood, in my point of view. Eh?
Yeah.
Like, suddenly the industry becomes a norm. And in all, most of the cooking books, I don't know if you use vinegar, but in most of the books, they will tell you, take the vinegar and boil everything. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And then it's...
Well...
Yeah, it stays. It's
not so interesting, actually. If you do pickles just with salt, the taste will be so interesting,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yeah. And then...
Yeah, you get away from design. It's more a living thing than... like, it can react in its own way, and it will surprise you probably.
But maybe so. Just because design wanted to do it big... for a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
and that it will last forever. So if you do this with a table, I can understand, but if you do this with pickles, this is a bit more complicated, because actually people need to eat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's also, I think, to that we will come to more, we also have to be more local in that, I think, because try to explain it, but when we start to do everything the same, like design does it or the industry does it, we can use it everywhere on the world. We can use the same pickles, but or we can buy a table who is made out of oak wood, for example, and use it everywhere on the on the world. But when we do like pickles by ourselves, everywhere on the world it will be different. And also the same is it with a table, because when you do a table somewhere in Australia, you have a complete other, maybe you have an oak tree, but you have a different type of oak tree than when you do a table here in Switzerland.
No, of course. I was just speaking about the design process or mindset of the industry, you know, not about, you know, the design of
what
the
I want to say with that. It's like maybe the particularity, we start to get also here. We should start to get think more local, and this also was Moritz. Du bist ein Förderer von einer Gesellschaft in Gedistan, so you support a community in walking distance. Und das beinhaltet das ja auch wieder, dass man ja auch einfach lokaler zu denken beginnt. Ich glaube, es läuft oft wieder auf diese Lokalität zurück, weil wenn wir, ich habe einmal gesagt, da ging es um etwas, das einen Text, den ich geschrieben habe für einen Anlass, den ich veranstaltet habe mit Freunden, also ich mit Freunde und ich sozusagen, natürlich nicht ich alleine. Und dann habe ich gesagt, eigentlich muss man saisonal muss man nicht in diesen Text reinnehmen. Man kann einfach sagen, es ist regional oder lokal, dann ist es automatisch auch saisonal. Das stimmt nicht ganz, aber ich glaube, es ist ein bisschen aneinander gekoppelt schon auch. Und ich glaube, das läuft irgendwie sehr stark auch auf diese Lokalität zurück oder einfach auf einen kleineren Radius und das Denken in einem kleineren Radius.
Ja, also zu dem Thema Fußdistanz, also ich sage heute gern, also Essen ist politisch geworden. Also, und die Mobilität ist der Untergang der menschlichen Gesellschaft, obwohl wir das mit der Vielfliegerei nicht wahrhaben wollen. Und so die Theorien, dass 2050 80% der Menschheit in Städten lebt, müssen die Städte zum Beispiel lernen, sich selber zu versorgen. Sonst endet das in einem riesen Chaos. Und ja, wenn man jetzt die Klimajugend ist ein schönes Beispiel dafür, dass man die gesellschaftlichen Zusammenhänge jetzt ganz neu sehen muss. Und da sind Trends entstanden, also wenn man jetzt die vegane Ernährung, was 1% unserer Bevölkerung ausmacht, aber wenn ich in einen Großverteiler gehe, sehe ich überall vegane Ernährung, also dass man auf etwas aufspringt, was halt, da hilft jetzt die Mode für einen sehr fundamental neuen Essstil zu kreieren in unserer Gesellschaft. Oder eben das Fermentieren, das ist ja jetzt auch unglaublich Mode geworden. Weggläser, diese Einmachgläser, die haben seit 2 Jahren Produktionsrückstand. Zuerst dachte man, es sei wegen Überproduktionen. Jetzt hat man festgestellt, dass das Einmachen und Fermentieren sehr
begeistert, die Leute?
Ja, sehr wichtig, oder wie da halt ein Trend oder eine Mode geworden ist. Und, und man streitet ja darüber, was zuerst der Mensch erfunden hat, ob das Fermentieren oder das Kochen. Und da ist man sich überhaupt noch nicht einig, was zuerst war. Mhm. Und es ist eine sehr tolle Art, ja, naturgerecht oder umweltgerecht mit Lebensmitteln umzugehen, weil man sie haltbar machen kann in einer sehr simplen Form, ohne dass man sie in eine Konserve einpacken muss oder mit so Veränderungen haltbar machen muss. Mhm. Also was jetzt all die Ehe und die Lebensmittelzusätze üblich sind. Und ja, da, mich freut das sehr, da, dass, dass eigentlich so eine Sensibilität wächst, und ich glaube, die Sensibilität hat die größere Chance, wenn sie nicht von der Politik gesteuert ist, weil die Politik hat immer Lobbyinteresse. Also wenn wir unsere Landwirtschaft jetzt mit den Pestiziden ändern wollen, sind alle Politiker vor oder gefangen in den Lobby mit der Chemie oder mit der Bauerngewerkschaft. Und ich denke, dass ja, das freidenkerische Handel der Gesellschaft, darin sehe ich eigentlich unsere Chance, dass wir unsere Gesellschaft auf den richtigen Weg führen können. Oder das ist meine Hoffnung, zumindest.
I haven't understand what you were saying about lactofermentation and VEC, the trend. Can you maybe tell me?
Moritz,
yeah, the company have
suddenly
they don't can make this production what the market need. And then one theory was is overproduction of fruits or vegetable. Everyone make conservation. And now they have realized this is really a kind of trend or is stylish to start to ferment it. And that's why so many people in Europe need this. Especially glasses.
But you can use many different kind of glass, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But actually,
this is the biggest company in Europe.
But the shape are nice actually, and if you have a look, there is not so many proposition of the industry. If you do like a small amount, it's quite complicated. I use them, but for me, I feel it's nice that nowadays is a trend, because I don't know, like my parents, they were not doing this type of thing, you know, and fermentation was part of the whole humanity evolution.
Sauerkraut.
How is it? Yeah, but even before, you know, it start. I mean, we were speaking before about mustard, but salami, olives, all the, you know, the,
yeah, every
the
alcoholic case, beverage,
the cheese and caviar. Yeah, so many things are actually part of it, but we just forgot. I was not sure what you were saying, but of course it's a nice suddenly nice trend for some industries. But same, you know, last time when at the beginning of the the last century, suddenly in Swiss we did so much sugar, you know, from beetroot. So in the same time there was also lobby saying, okay, we need to do things with all this sugar, so we did a lot of marmalade. And it's so interesting to find old cookbook, you know, can be from the potato or the sugar industry, and they're lobby,
rice. Rice is also for 200 years in the cookbooks in Switzerland, they have more rice recipe than potato.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the Söldner, the soldier, the Swiss guys could go for war in other country. They bring cheese because cheese was the only thing what protein you can use it for longer time, and they get pay in rice. And when they came back to Switzerland, they have rice. And then the culture of rice was here most important than today. This is really... For me, something really interesting how I...
The rice arrived.
The changement and the importance of food, because for the military you don't can bring for a company meat, because after 1 week there is down, and when you bring cheese you can use them for months, and that was this hard cheese from Switzerland became so important in Europe.
But I think it's really interesting to try to see all these different shape and taste and recipe, you know, in all different cultures, and to understand actually it's only ways to be able to stock them, you know, to keep them in the time. And it's really interesting because it's really a mindset, you know. You know, it's like a bit like a war mindset. I think it's nice, you know, to, okay, I'm going to do, let's say, sauerkraut and in October because I have lots of...
cabbage.
Yeah, cabbage. And, of course, it's a need. I cannot eat them all in the same time. But in the same time, what I feel is very interesting, the mindset of I want to keep, you know. If you have a farm, it's normal, but always to have this mindset, I want to keep. Okay, how can I do my recipe now if I want to eat it now, you know. And maybe I have too much, but I will invite 50 people. Okay, let's share it, you know? So it's maybe we have also to understand where does the recipe came from, you know, as well, you know? It's interesting.
Like the way it
like
it
if,
comes.
Yeah, like the way, like the way industry can take, give it to us, or... the way that your grandma explained to you why she was doing this way, or, you know, because there is always a reason why
to
we do
something.
Things, you know. Yeah, I think it's interesting to make a deconstruction, you know.
Like a deconstruction of the...
To understand
of the process, maybe, or the journey.
To understand why we have standards in the food, you know, why always the same. You know, yeah, I will show you my drawings after, you will maybe understand better. the Bauhaus deconstruction, yeah? Yeah, like this. In our designer mind, Bauhaus is so present, you know?
Sure.
It's our mindset to think design. So same with the food, you know? There is ways to do.
So we do it.
So
this
we do
way.
It always the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see when I do food only with vegetal things, I will open the field of how I can do things, mm-hmm. you know? Because I'm not on the same process. And it's so interesting because you can really have texture and taste and results that are completely astonishing and
you get the best out
and
of
delicious
something.
And different but mm-hmm. in the same yeah so mm-hmm. it's open-minded, you know, not always doing the same, yeah.
Don't think in a box
like always, you know.
I'm actually interested about this object you brought with you, because this is totally the you said Bauhaus, and this is totally the opposite of Bauhaus.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful object, and but it's not a, yeah. It's for me it's design, but maybe it's more craftsmanship. Then we have to talk about the border between
but
design
it's
and craftsmanship.
It's always
it's really
the same. We want to know the border between art and design.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know the border between poetry
mm-hmm.
and food. Or, you know, for me, it's everything is connected.
Yeah, yeah. For
so
me, this is design too. It's not the
for
same.
For me, every choice is design.
Uh-huh.
Because you point it with your finger, you know. You say something, so this is design,
mm-hmm.
you know. But no, I just took it because I have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a calabas,
mm-hmm.
so it's from the family of the
pumpkin.
Yeah. And what is very interesting is actually these vegetables, or actually it's a fruit, because
mm-hmm.
it comes from a flower, so it's a fruit. You can find them from Japan to Brazil, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's very deep rooted in the culture of so many countries, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So what I just wanted to show with this object, that all different countries, all different cultures will say, this is part of us, this is our,
mm-hmm.
you know, we always want to take and say, this is mine, you know, I do this with, you know,
mm-hmm.
so the Japanese will do something, the Africans will do something else, so I think it's really interesting, you know, because actually it's a fruit, and okay, we can do something with, but this is not ours, you get it,
mm-hmm.
and but this one I bought in Africa, and they use it for the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really
but
nice,
you know,
yeah.
this idea of always wanting to say, mine, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah,
I think we do the same with the food, you know. With
everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the relationships.
yeah, exactly.
With
you know?
The ground.
Yeah, as well. You
yeah.
know? The plants, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, yeah. But now it's opening more and more, so
mm-hmm.
it's good.
Maybe you, somebody of you, want to say something really. Isn't said yet, or
Maurice?
Like a really, yeah, etwas noch Wichtiges, was noch wichtig wäre, um es zu besprechen. aber es gibt viele wichtige Dinge natürlich.
Ja, also für mich ja etwas sehr Fundamentales. Also im ganzen Gesellschaftlichen ist, dass wir den respektvollen Umgang mit allen. Mhm. Und ich finde auch die Förderung des Schwächeren. Also wir sollten unser gesellschaftliches System so einrichten, dass wir die Schwächeren fördern, und dadurch wäre auch ein Erhalt der Biodiversität, der Andersartigkeit, mhm. Es wäre vielem gewährt. Und ich denke, das ist sehr wichtig in einer Zeit, wo sehr viel dominiert, unterdrückt und zerstört wird. Mhm. Und das würde schlussendlich sehr vielen und vielem helfen, zum sinnvoll zu überleben.
Ja, wir haben ja eigentlich gezeigt, dass wir den Kampf gegen die Natur, oder jahrhundertelang oder jahrtausende lang war es der Mensch gegen die Natur, und vor, ich weiß, noch nicht so langer Zeit haben wir diesen Kampf eigentlich gewonnen, und die Natur, also wir sind Teil von der Natur, darum vielleicht haben wir ihn nicht gewonnen, weil wir auch Teil davon sind. Aber
ja, die Kurzgeschichte zeigt uns, dass wir ihn nicht gewonnen haben. Also wenn man Corona anschaut, da muss man sagen, aha, da gibt es jetzt, auch wenn es nur so kleine Dinge sind auf unserem Planet, mhm. die auch dominieren können.
That actually the diversity is something natural, right? This is diversity is life, yeah. Right? So, but because we as human took ourselves outside from this nature thing, we try to make a profit, the nature, and we start to make standards and norm and to sell it, mm-hmm. So actually most and more everyday people understand this, and now I feel that we are ready to understand that actually there is an abundance, there is, if you start actually working with plants and with humans, and you are, giving, you
animal
will receive.
Landscape, huh? Animal,
yeah.
Landscape.
Yeah, I mean everything.
Soil.
Yeah, I mean minerals, animals, plants, right?
Yeah.
And humans, right?
And humans, yeah.
Which are the three, right? Because we need minerals to live,
mm-hmm.
we have
water,
soil. Yeah, so we are completely inside
mm-hmm.
the thing, and for me is the direction, even though I'm a designer,
mm-hmm.
okay, but this is a label. I learn to understand what it means, this work of designer,
mm-hmm.
and today, okay, I do food, this is design as well,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I open all the boundaries, because I feel that today maybe there is not a need to design a new table, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Depends,
yeah.
If I want to invite a lot of people, and you will cook, and yeah, maybe we can design a new table,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but so I think nowadays, even with our work of design, we have to re-question, you know, and to, yeah, it's really the way I see my work, you know. So, yeah, just to understand what we do, you know, and it's everyday choice.
Yeah, can decide.
And as well, because you were speaking, you were saying, is it? You were saying that you think it's good that designers are more and more involved in the design field or
in the food field.
I can say it depends, you know, because it depends the way you will
act.
You know. Because when we speak about diversity, for example. Okay, if we look to designers, how do they, when you go to an opening, how designers will wear, you know, things? Most of the people, of the designers will be in black, right? Right.
Old fashioned.
Is this diversity?
No, not really, yeah.
So, I feel it's nothing to do about the type of work you do. It's about your open-minded, you know. And when I decided to go around the world to make an interview for designers, I understood very quickly, actually, I have to interview people. And sometimes other people have more to say than designers.
Than designer.
You know, depends. So I think the work is to also take the label. You know, right? We have so many stickers on the forehead. It's, I feel it's the construction time, which is great.
Yeah, maybe also the time now helps us to do to do that. Yeah, because we realize many things. So it's we live definitely in quite an interesting
time. Yeah.
Good. I really enjoyed the time we had. Really thankful that you made the way here to Pratham, and so thank you and
danke
merci.